All right, let's take our Bibles and turn to 1 Corinthians 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. I'd like to deal, I said, with verses 1 through 3 and then second message 4 to 13. And I've entitled this, The Necessity of Love. The Apostle Paul was moved by God's Spirit to say in verse 1 of 1 Corinthians 3, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. The Apostle Paul was saying, if I don't possess love from above, love of God, and I preach with these tongues, or tongues of men, tongues of angels, if I don't have love, I am nothing more than offensive, unintelligible noise. That's all I am. Now, the reason he said, though I speak with the tongues of men, he had formerly dealt with the subject of the gifts of the Spirit. God had called some men to be apostles, and he gave them some gifts. Just back up a little bit, 1 Corinthians 12, verse 28 to 30. The Apostle Paul said, God has set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts, healings, helps, government, diversities of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? Have all the gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet show I unto you a more excellent way. Now, the Lord, turn back to Mark 16. Mark chapter 16. The Lord is getting ready to send his disciples out. He says in Mark 16, verse 15, he said unto them, he told them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not, whether he's baptized or not, shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. Now he's talking concerning his apostles. He's talking to his apostles. He said, in my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. He gifted his apostles with some marvelous gifts. He gave them the ability to be able to speak in these other tongues, and it actually happened. All these things, Paul the apostle bit by a venomous snake, shook it off, shook it in the fire, and people looked at him, and, you know. But in the book of Acts, chapter 2, concerning these tongues. Now, when it says tongues, you know, it's not this unintelligible gibberish that people, they get around, they get this ecstasy thing, and they start, you know, saying stuff, and it just doesn't make any sense. That is not what the gift was. It was the ability to preach in a known language, but not known to the person preaching it. The ability to preach in a language that he had never learned before. I've said before, I don't speak Russian. You know, I can hear it. I say, well, that sounds Russian to me. That sounds Spanish to me. But I can't speak it. But the gift of tongues was that ability to be able to preach. And the Lord gave these apostles the ability to preach in languages to people. They were to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Well, some of them, you know, they were going to some places that didn't understand Galilean. Look in the book of Acts, chapter 2, verse 1 through 11. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it set upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues or languages as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven. And when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in his own language. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? And how hear we every man in our own tongue wherein we were born? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, dwellers in Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, parts of Libya, Cyrene, strangers of Rome, Jews, proselytes, Cretes, Arabians, we do hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God. They said, these guys are Galileans. How are we hearing it in our language? They were amazed, but they were hearing, and the Spirit of God gave them that ability to be able to preach in languages they'd never learned before. Why? What was it? They were to preach so that these people could hear. But look at Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2 and verses 3 and 4. The scripture says, Hebrews 2 verse 3 and 4, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? Who is his apostles? His apostles learned the gospel from the Lord. That was the sign of an apostle. You had to have learned the gospel personally from the Lord himself. He taught you the gospel. And also were witnesses of his resurrection. That was the credential of being an apostle. And it said that the Lord came and he began to preach the kingdom of heaven. And it was confirmed unto us, the apostle Paul was saying, by those that heard him. Well, how was it confirmed? Verse 4, God also bearing them witness, both with signs, wonders, and divers miracles, and gifts of the Holy Ghost, according to his own will. So here's the truth of it. The Spirit of God had moved upon some men and gave them some gifts. And to be able to preach in languages and heal, and they preached, and it was a sign, a confirmation that they were of the Lord. They were sent of the Lord. So Paul, now having explained that God had given them, now we're back in verse 1 of chapter 13. He says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. Though I speak in the languages of all men. Paul said, I speak in tongues more than any of you. Paul, he wasn't bragging, he was just telling a fact. God gave him the ability to speak in languages. He said, I speak more than any of you. But he said, though I have the gift, though I speak with the tongues of men, that amazing gift, that God-given ability to preach the gospel in languages foreign to the preacher, languages that are understood by men but not, you know, taught. Though I speak with the tongues of men, every dialect, or angels, being able to speak in a language of heavenly creatures. I mean, and who can tell what language they speak? But the Apostle Paul is saying, if I could, if I was able to communicate in all human and heavenly ways, yet I have not charity. I have not love. The love of God that's shed abroad, given from heaven unto God's people of God's choosing. If I don't have love, I am nothing more than just sounding brass, tinkling, just noise. I'm no more personally worth anything concerning true worship before God and for the good of God's people than just noisy sound, just dropping a, open up a cabinet and a whole cabinet full of pots just fall out and just noise. What kind of prophet was that? Paul said that's about what it is. It's just men do things like this and they call it worship. All they're doing is making noise. Oh, the importance, the necessity of love. Love. The Spirit of God moved upon this man to teach that those that are born of God, God gives them love in their heart, and the lack of that love, love for God as he's revealed in these scriptures, and love for men, loved and taught of God and evidence the regenerating power of Almighty God. He said, without that, that's the key. That's the key of it. He said, all these gifts and stuff, I mean, without love, 1 John 4a, he that loveth not God, loves not God's people, knoweth not God. For God is love. He doesn't love the God of this Bible. Those regenerated by sovereign grace according to this Bible. He doesn't know the Lord. Love is that evidence. It's, you know, any man that doesn't preach the gospel of God's grace and God's love in Christ, sovereign grace, that gospel that gives all the glory, not to the creature, but to the Creator. Not any honor to men, but all the honor to the Lord. He hasn't been called, he hasn't been sent of God. Love is the very essence of God's nature. The just God, who is a Savior, who has satisfied himself in the person of his blessed Son for a people of God's choosing. It's his nature to love, because God is love. God is love. It is God's nature to show mercy. Moses said, show me your glory. I will have mercy on whom I'll have mercy. I'll have compassion. And to forgive. It's God's nature. So everyone born of God has love is God. God is love. It has God in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ formed in them. That new man we talk about that sinneth not, that's Christ in you, the hope of glory. It's God Almighty inside a believer, that one made new in the Lord Jesus Christ, and it is evidenced by love. Love for God and love for God's people. That's why the Lord told his disciples in John 13:35, by this. And I'm telling you, what an important word. By this. That's a singular thing. By this. Somebody say, well, I believe the doctrines of grace. I've said this before. Demons, you know, they're aware. They believe that there are doctrines of grace. Or if I can say it, they know God chose a people. They know that Christ died for his elect. They've heard, you know, they know that. You know, I believe in the doctrines of grace. Well, that's just not good enough. The scripture doesn't say he that believeth in the doctrines of grace. I believe the doctrines of grace. I love them and preach them. But it's the truth of Christ. That's we believe in him. We believe in God the Father who elected, God the Son who redeemed, God the Spirit that regenerated, and keeps and teaches. By this shall all men know that you're my disciples. You have love one for another. God's love for his people, it never started. And it never will cease. That's Jeremiah 31:3. The Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. God's love is his gift to his people. Romans 5:5, it says, and hope, or confidence, expectation, maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. So, the Apostle Paul preaching, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and I don't have love, I'm just sounding brass and tinkling cymbals. Verse 2, and though I have the gift of prophecy, and I understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith, so that I could remove mountains, and have not charity, I am become nothing. Though I have the gift of prophecy, preaching. Balaam was a false prophet. And you can go back and read some messages that Balaam preached. And you're not going to find one thing wrong with him. Obviously, he was a false prophet because God said he was. He could preach. He had obviously that ability. He knew the right things to say. But the love of God was not there. I don't doubt for one second that Judas had some ability to preach. He heard some words, and he obviously, the disciples never questioned him. Even at the Last Supper, when the Lord said, one of you is going to betray me, do you think the other 11 looked around and said, I tell you, I know who it is? That's been real obvious for a long time. No, what did they say? Lord, is it I? They never suspected Judas. Though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and knowledge, and though I have all faith, now obviously, the apostle here is speaking of those degrees or things like I was talking about with Judas. There's some things that I'm sure he believed, and I'm sure that he had that ability to speak or something, and to, you know. He said, if I have these gifts that appear to be, but I don't have love, though I can preach, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, we prophesied in your name. Men stand up that have some, at least outwardly, some gifts. We prophesied in your name. We cast out devils in your name. We've done many marvelous works in your name. And the Lord said, I will say unto them, I never knew you. And the reason is based on these scriptures. Love was not there. Love for God and love for God's people. Though I have these gifts, I understand mysteries and knowledge, I have faith so that I could remove mountains, and have not love, I am nothing. There's no love shed abroad. Look at Matthew 5:13. Matthew 5:13. The Lord teaching said, you're the salt of the earth. But if the salt have lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. It doesn't matter what it appears. If the love of God is not shed abroad in a man's heart, if he does not have love bestowed by God, he's nothing. In verse 3, and though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, I have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Though I've got a soup kitchen, and we have an organization for unwed mothers, and we have all of these marvelous things. I give everything I got. My body's burned. There are people that will die for what they believe. They'll be martyrs for that faith. But if that one thing, the love of God, a man can do all of these outwardly speaking marvelous things, attempting to buy or purchase his own works by so-called good sacrifices. He might be trying to buy himself a place in heaven. And sincere, I watched a woman last night. She was talking about, doesn't matter the denomination, but she was talking about how she has decided that she's going overseas to this place, and she said, I have given my life to be a mother of souls. And that's my calling. I'm a mother of souls. Now, that all sounds, you know, somebody might hear that and say, oh, what a, man, what dedication. And she's willing. She's willing to go, willing. But without a knowledge and a love for God in this book, a man can do everything, give everything he owns till he has absolutely nothing, destitute. Give his body to be burned out of fear of going to hell and being separated from God and fearful of God's punishment. I don't want to face God in judgment and not know him, so I'm going to do all these things. But if there's no love, Paul said, all these efforts, all of this is nothing more, just talking about Judas a while ago, nothing more than a kiss of Judas. It's an outward show. Judas came and kissed the Lord. Someone said he kissed the door of heaven and missed it. Why? He didn't love him. He had no love for him. But in closing, let me ask you this for this morning. How is this love obtained? And what is the evidence of possessing it? I'll deal more fully with that second one in that second message. But how is it obtained? It is obtained one way. It's not worked up. Romans 5:1-5. I read one of these verses, the last one, but I'm going to read Romans 5:1-5. And Here's how it's obtained. Romans 5, verses 1 to 5. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulations worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. How is love obtained? God gives it. Not on our merit. Who merited the love of God? It was by grace that you're saved. In regenerating grace, love is there. God puts within the heart of a vessel of his mercy love. Love, it's poured in. 2 Peter 1:3, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. And that evidence of possessing the love of God. I read that passage a while ago. You know, by this shall all men know you're my disciples. You have love one for another. Look at 1 John 4:19 to 21. 1 John chapter 4. Verse 19 to 21. We love him because he first loved us. If any sinner, saved by the grace of God, which he does, loves the Lord, he does, it's because God loved him first. God set his affection on him first. If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother, whom he hath seen, and this is going to be the heart of the second message, our love for God known through our love for the brethren. He is a liar. He that loveth not his brother, whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? And this commandment we have from him, that he who loveth God loveth his brother also. What did the Lord say? You can't love God and hate or be hateful toward your brethren. You can't do it. You can't. It won't happen. I'm not going to say we'll never do something, but I'm telling you, a brother is not going to just continue in that. The Spirit of God will chasten him and correct him. How can we say we love God and hate those, God that we've not seen, and hate those that we do see? Nothing is more contradictory than for a man to say, I love the Lord, and be hateful toward his brethren. Hates his brethren. He's a liar. He declares that he loves God, and he doesn't. So, John 13 that we just read a while ago, I'll read this and I will close. By this shall all men know that you're my disciples, if you have love one to another. Men that know God don't love merely doctrine. They don't love merely religious speech. They love God's people because they love the Lord. Almighty God has set forth that love for the brethren is the sign of life. I pray that God teach us something in this blessed chapter here concerning love. Lord, help me. Lord, teach me. Lord, forgive me. That I might know truly in my heart the experience of that love. For his sake and our good. Amen.